Father, I just want to thank you this morning for Joseph. I thank you, Lord, for his willingness to act out in his gifting, Lord, and to share the word with us this morning and preach, Lord. We look forward to what you have placed on his heart for us this morning, Lord. We thank you for the preparation and the dedication that he's put in to the preach this morning, Lord. And we just look forward to hearing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Warren. Good morning, church. Hoi mora. Did I pronounce it good? excuse me a bit. Let me put my things in order. Thanks to worship team for a great time of worship. It was really nice. And God works in such an amazing way. I'll be talking on worship this morning. It's something that has been on my heart for quite some time, and I think I shared briefly last week on it, but this morning I want to get much deeper with it. As a people, or as a church, or as God's creation, we are called, we are all called to worship God. Reading from Psalm 95, that's what I'll start with. Psalm 95 from verse 6 to 7. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. This is a call for us to worship God. And God created us in his likeness and in his image. We are like God. Why? Because he wanted us to fellowship with him. And how do we fellowship with him? We fellowship with him in worship. In Exodus 20, verse 3, and verse 3 to 5, I'll read that. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. God solely invites us or calls us to worship only him. For he is the one who is worthy of all worship. He instructs us not to bow down to anything besides him. So who are we to worship? We are to worship only God, nothing else. We are to worship him alone. What is worship? That's a very good question. Is it just the singing? Is it just praying? Okay, when the music fades, does that mean worship has ended? Not really. According to the Bible, worship is an act of the heart, demonstrating love, honoring and reverence for God. Worship is expressing our love to God, showing him how much we appreciate what he does in our lives. We appreciate him as God and head over all. How is this done? This is through a lifestyle of obedience, prayer, and praise. It involves expressing love for God with your whole being, not just part, not just words, but with your whole being, obeying his commands, praising him through songs and prayer, and living a life that glorifies him. That's what the Bible calls worship. When we live anyhow with our lives, we are not honoring him if it's not according to his commands and according to his word. We cannot call that worship. We are not worshiping him. We are not giving him the honor and the respect that he deserves. But when we live our lives according to his word, according to his will, according to all his commands, then we bring honor and glory to his name. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's the whole being of a person, is to love God. Not just loving in word, I love God, but acting otherwise. Your whole being should love God. Your mind should love God. What you think has to be in line with God. That's the act of worship. What you say with your mouth should be in line with the word of God. That's an act of worship. What you do with your life, in line with God's word, that's an act of worship. And that's what God is commanding us this morning. Worship the Lord your God with every part of you, every being, everything of you, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Our bodies are to worship God too. So worshiping God starts with loving God with all our hearts, our soul, mind, and strength. It requires genuine, heartfelt devotion and not just outward actions. I might act just to please people who are seeing me or people around me, but not pleasing to God. That's not worship. We can come to church. We can do everything what's required in church. But when our hearts are not devoted to God, that's not worship. We are just doing an act. We can sing songs, but without meaning it, it's meaningless to God. That's not worship. God requires us to go deeper, to love him from the bottom of our hearts, to express that love in every way possible. In this generation, we have so many gods, so many things that have taken the place of God. For example, social media. We are so devoted and dedicated to social media. How much time of your day do you spend on social media? And how much time do you spend with God? Social media has become like our other God. But God is saying he is one and we are to worship him alone. Nothing besides him. So he demands our time, our devotion. Worshiping God has to be intentional. You find it in your heart, find it in yourself that you really want to worship God. It requires what we call total surrender. Giving him all of me. Not my will, but his be done. That's worshiping God. Jesus gave us an example when he was in the garden in Gethsemane. He was praying. If you read Matthew 26, verse 39, he said, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." This is the Son of God, who was like God himself, but is choosing not to follow his will, but God's will. Though it was going to be painful for him to die on the cross, he said, "Father, let it be your will, not my will, be done." That was the deepest worship that he could give to the Father at that moment. Rejecting his comfort, rejecting his will, and abiding to the will of the Father. Abiding to the mission that God has given him. That was his act of worship. And we are called to that level of worship. Worshiping God demands us that we live a life of holiness. We are to be pure in every way, in our hearts, in our minds, in our words, in our actions. Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he encourages us to live that holy life. He said, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, not to offer your body, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good will, pleasing and perfect will. He's saying that our bodies are to be given as a living sacrifice. That's our act of worship. I cannot say otherwise and live the other way. My soul, my mind, my body, and everything should be in one accord. We should be moving together. I cannot profess to say I love God, yet my body is doing otherwise. Paul emphasizes that it is our act of worship to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. There are things that are required of us to do. Our bodies have to act that way. For example, coming to church. You cannot just send your spirit to come to church, but a body has to carry that spirit to church. The body has played its part. We are to offer it as a living sacrifice. I asked myself, why did they say living sacrifice? And then I went back into the Old Testament to study how they would sacrifice, how they did their sacrifices. Animals were taken, put on the altar, and they were killed. Right? And they were burnt. But in this, Paul is saying, a living sacrifice. We are to sacrifice this body whilst we are still living. Not dead, but living. We are to give it to God as whole, living in it, its form. Not waiting for it to die, then we can give it to God. We are to put that body on the altar, still alive, and to remain on the altar alive. We are to serve God in this life, using this body, using the same mind, using the same heart, using the same soul, all together to worship and to give God the glory. Why do we have to worship God? Why does he demand us to worship him? I said it's an act of love. We just have to love God. Why do we have to love God? I'll read Isaiah 25 verse 1, which says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness, you have done wonderful things. Things planned long ago. We worship God because he has done wonderful things. I imagine the children of Israel, their journey from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan. They saw the hand of God and they would tell it to their children. God did this. God did this. God did this for us. Those were wonderful things, and that were in their memory. You have things that God has done in your life. You have wonderful things that God has done in your life. That's the reason to worship God. That's the reason to give him thanks, to praise him, to abide in his commands. That's the reason to want him more for the goodness, the wonderful things that he does in your lives. Psalm 145. Verse 1. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. That's one reason. His greatness. He is a great God. He is the God who is high above every other gods that you might think of. He is the supreme ruler of the heavens and the earth and all creation. That's the reason why we have to love him and to give him all the glory, to give him all the honor, to worship him every day. I'll give you one last reason. 1 Peter 2. Verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Do you walk in freedom? Were you freed from sin? Were you redeemed? Were you healed by his stripes? That's the reason to worship him. He has called us from darkness into his light. Let's read it again. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He has called you from darkness into his wonderful light. If you continue reading, he said, you were once not a people, but you are now a people, a chosen generation, a holy nation, a nation of priests. I mean, we didn't deserve that. But God called us from the deepest pit to make us live in this life where there is light and where there is freedom. That's the reason to love him. We didn't deserve to be free. We deserved to die. Because of our sinfulness. But because of his great mercy, because of his great love for us, he called us from that darkness into his light. There is so much that happens when we worship God. God is faithful to his word and to his promises. When we love him, he loves us more. Worship does something in our lives that's so great to really enjoy. When we really worship God, he shows up. Did you know that? He shows up. He's a God who reveals to those that love him more. I remember reading a story of, was it Elijah, Elisha, with the prophets of Baal? Elijah. Okay. God himself showed up as the consuming fire just to prove that he is God. Why? Because Elijah had worshipped God. He had stood firm in loving God and in saying God is God and he is the only God. When these other prophets said, no, we have other gods. There is Baal, but he said there is only one God whose name is Jehovah. That was an act of worship, and God showed up. When we read 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13 and 14, the trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. The singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good. His love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. When we truly worship God, he shows up. I was thinking during the week that Anton shared that we are being accused of being a cult. And I said, do we have to be explaining that we are not a cult? No. Let God himself show himself that he is God and that we truly worship him. When we worship him, he will show himself. Have you ever felt that when you worship, you feel that heaviness, that cloud coming in here? When you worship God, there are some things that happens that shows the presence of God. God will manifest himself when we truly worship him and when we are devoted to him. God is a God who vindicates his people. I'll read Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. They were in a dungeon. They were in prison. And they worshiped God. They didn't mind the chains. They didn't mind the locked doors. They didn't mind the flogging that was before they were put in there. They worshiped God. And what did God do? He shows up. He just didn't show up, but he frees them. There is freedom in worship. When we worship God, he shows up. He shakes the foundations. He removes the chain. He frees us from bondage. There is freedom in worship. It's not just an act that we do as a form of church, but there is power in it when it's done right. When it's done from the heart, when it's done with all our minds on it, with all our being on it, God will show up and will free us. Worship redeems and frees. It causes God to fight for us. I'll read Revelation 8, verse 4 to 5. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. I love the part where it says he mixed it with the prayers or with the worship of the saints. At times we cry, things are not right in the world. Things are not right in our lives. But we are not crying or we are not worshiping God the proper way. We are shortchanging the angels who want those prayers and those worship so that they can break the chains. Come on, church. Let's just worship God. Let's just praise his name. Let's just pray to him with all our minds, our hearts, and our souls, and see what happens. When those goes to God, it will be like a sweet-smelling fragrance that will cause him to stand from his throne and to act on our behalf, because we have expressed our love to him. I want to read the final, what I will say, the final scripture for today. That's Revelation 4, 9 to 11. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." I talked briefly about the 24 elders in heaven worshiping God. Maybe one wonders, who are these 24 elders? The 24 elders, as I was reading, some studies say this represents the 12 patriarchs or leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 of the apostles, giving it a number of 24. That's representing the old and the new, all together worshiping God. God has to be worshipped from the old and is to be worshipped even in the future. There is a representation. Okay, these guys were sitting on thrones. They are sitting on thrones, the 24 elders. Meaning to say, they were ruling together with Christ. What an honor. They had golden crowns put on their heads for the victories that they have conquered on earth. They had every reason to be proud, to be sitting with the Father, to be sitting with the Lamb of God, to be sitting on thrones judging together with God. They have every reason to celebrate because they have golden crowns on them. That brings honor and respect. If you read in the book of Revelation, they were putting on white clothes. Brilliant white clothes. I can imagine myself sitting on the throne with that golden crown on my head, putting on that white linen. Man, you won't touch me. I'll be something else. But these 24 elders, they are said to cast their crowns before the Lord God, the only God of heaven, when worship was done. They would remove their golden crowns, put it there. They would lay prostrate before God and give him honor. Leave their thrones and lay face down to worship God. That was a challenge to me. A big challenge. When I read this and it struck me a lot. I'm one person who used to be back there. Even during worship, I'll be back there. Doing my funny things back there. But something that struck me was, are you doing it for God or for yourself? Okay. Mine was, I just want to protect myself. I do funny things when I worship God. I have people see me having tears running down my cheeks. I mean, to some it's not proper. I don't want to have people see me, you know, laying flat on the ground. But it said, these guys, these 24 elders, they had every reason to be proud, but they laid it aside to worship God. It wasn't for themselves, but it was for God. They had all the honor, all the respect, everything that you might think of, but they laid it aside for the glory of God, just to give honor to God. We have crowns that the world has put on us. I'm the father of the house. I am the elder of a church. I'm the pastor. I'm the deacon. I am the bishop. Whatever name you might call yourself. If it hinders you from true worship, it's meaningless. These had what I can call the highest level of honor. I mean, they're the elders of the heavens. Get me right here. Not the president of Zimbabwe, not the president of America, but the elders in heaven. They didn't take that as worthy. Holding on to worshiping God. They chose to lay it aside, to disregard it, and be a simple man before God. What an honor. Who are we today to hold on to those puny little crowns of ours that we give ourselves or are given to us by people around us? I'm sorry, I might be like too harsh on people, but it is the truth. We are nothing before God. And once we realize that and give him the proper honor, the real worship that he deserves, then our crowns will be meaningful. They were respected not only in heaven, but even with us here on earth. We cannot compare to heavenly beings. We cannot compare to those who are with the Father. We cannot compare ourselves to those sitting on the thrones of heaven. But they left that in order to worship God. God is calling us to this high level of worship. To this high level of worship. Not just here in church, but wherever we are. We worship God with our lives. And when we worship Him, let all the crowns that man has put on us, all the crowns that we have crowned ourselves, all the respect that we think we have, all the honor that we think we have, or we deserve, we lay it aside and worship our true God. I hope next time it won't be like Warren calling people to come up front to worship God, but you yourself to decide, I'll go up front. I'll be the first to worship God. If He wants me to lie down, my first down, I'll do that because that's what God wants me to. Whether I'm wearing a nice suit, an expensive shirt or trousers, I'll kneel down because He is God. Choose today not to hold on to those crowns, not to hold on to that honor, but to give it to where it's due. When we give it to God, it will come back to us. How? When He Himself shows up. When He shows up, He doesn't just come empty-handed. He comes to bless, to vindicate, to redeem, to free, and to set free everyone who needs that. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. It is the body that kneels down, not the heart, because we don't see it. Not the mind, because we don't see it. It is the body that bows down, that kneels down. Let our bodies, our mind, our soul worship God. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your goodness and thank You for Your mercies and thank You for who You are. I pray this morning, God, that You help us to worship You. Holy Spirit, draw that worship from the bottom of our hearts. May our lives live to glorify Your name. May our hearts, our minds, and our souls, our bodies give glory to Your name. From this day and all the days of our lives, may we live to honor You. May we live to glorify You. May our worship come to You as a sweet-smelling fragrance. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.